Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message that Tom Joe pre-recorded for our online service, which aired on Sunday morning, January 10th, 2020. He was speaking once again from Luke chapter 2.
So when that angel came out of heaven with glad tidings of great joy, and then there was a choir of angels bursting like out of the sky, singing to a field of shepherds. If you had read this like back in those days, you would have thought, huh, shepherds. Because they had like bad thoughts about shepherds because of the job that they had. I mean, they thought of shepherds as people who were socially unprepared, probably a little bit rude. I mean, they lived in fields kind of by themselves. So, you know, I think about those shepherds around a campfire, and I have a vague memory of a scene in a movie that I saw one time called Blazing Saddles, and, you know, may have been like that. In Italy, where we used to live, sometimes people thought that shepherds, you know, maybe drank too much, but I know the feeling of people thinking bad thoughts about you because of the job you have, because when I was in college, in the summertime, and one time for a whole year, I was a garbage man in Oak Ridge and California. And when you go through the gate to get somebody's garbage, I mean, a lot of people were great. Some people would call their kids in and let their dogs out because the garbage man was in their yard. And I'm like, I've come to get your garbage. And it wasn't really, I mean, garbage men are not like what people thought. There was a guy that I worked with. I was probably 18, 19. And one of the garbage men in Oak Ridge was a pastor in La Follette. And he would drive down every day to be a garbage man. He's probably 58. And he knew so much scripture by memory, but he couldn't read a street sign. He had learned all of his scripture by listening to LP records. And he talked to people about Jesus every day. In California, in Palo Alto, I was a garbage man on the summer we got married. And all of the other garbage men, I was the only one that wasn't a Latino, like wasn't either an immigrant or son of immigrants. And they would bust it. Like they would start at 6 o'clock in the morning, try to get done, because as soon as you were done with your route, you were done. Try to get done by 12:30 or 1, because two or three of them were trying to finish up their degrees at San Jose State. And so, you know what I mean? But anyway, so to shepherds, like, why would they give this news to shepherds? But the angel choir sang three Christmas wishes: glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Well, that's not exactly what they said. What they said was peace on earth to those human beings with whom God is well pleased. The Greek word is a word that means, it's the word good, and the word, it comes from the word pleasure or fun. Like, depending on what you do with this message about the Savior that you just heard, you could be a person that God would feel like it is a joy and a pleasure to have you. It's the same word that was spoken to heaven on the day that Jesus offered to be baptized, which was kind of mysterious because he was the only human being in the history of the world that didn't need to be baptized. And that moment when Jesus was baptized was a dividing moment between his anonymous life and his public life. Because up to that point, he had not yet healed the multitudes or preached to crowds on hillsides or was famous anywhere. He had simply lived 30 years of a quiet, daily, miracle-free life. And looking over those 30 years, God the Father said from heaven, I am so well pleased with you. It has been a joy and a pleasure to watch every second of that. And I think about those shepherds, you know, maybe years later, after Jesus was risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, And maybe the Gospels had been begun to have been written. And I think about one of the shepherds of Bethlehem, maybe reading the Gospel of Mark and thinking, I understand why God pronounced over them, over Jesus, that it was a pleasure and a joy to watch you. But I remember that that's what the angel said over us. And I don't understand why they would have said it over him, of course, but why over us? I mean, I think about some shepherd thinking, like if I compare my life when I was a teenager to Jesus when he was a teenager, he probably was helping his grouchy old neighbor week after week, and I was hating mine. And Jesus, the teenager, when he looked at the girl down the street, he probably prayed for her. When I looked at the girl down the street when I was a teenager, let's just say my thoughts and prayers weren't with her, only my thoughts. And when Jesus, like, he probably talked to his father about his friends. I talked to my friends about my other friends. You know, and when angels appeared out of the sky and reminded them that at every moment you're surrounded by an invisible audience, it might have made them feel uncomfortable. It was like when Jacob Marley told Ebenezer Scrooge that he passed some of the days sitting invisibly beside him, watching him, and it made Scrooge feel uncomfortable. To think that when you're alone, you're never really alone. And I could imagine maybe a shepherd thinking back over the last month or maybe just the last week and thinking, when I did that thing, God saw it. When I said that thing, God heard it. When I thought that thought, he knew it. I don't understand why heaven pronounced that day that it could have been in any way a joy to have me or a pleasure to watch me. Thinking about my life and God watching it, it must have been an infinitude of displeasure and unpleasurability to watch that. But that's exactly why the Savior was born. Jesus was born to save us. Jesus was born to die for us. And on that dark day, when he did die for us, further developments in the New Testament explain that he was taking responsibility for all of the unpleasantness and all of the unpleasurability that had been my life, that is my life. And he paid for all of it. And he rose from the dead. And when you trust in him, not only are you forgiven of everything that you've ever done, do, or will do, but, and this is the most amazing thing, Paul said, when you believe in Jesus, you are given credit for all of the joy and all of the pleasure that his life was to watch, such that when God looks at you after you've believed in Jesus, he feels and says over you, it has been a joy to have you. It has been a pleasure to watch you every minute. Not because of what you've been and what you've done, but because of who Jesus was and is and what he did. And you're thinking that God could look over my life in any way and say it's been a joy and a pleasure to watch in any way. I don't understand that. How could it be? And yet, is that not the most wonderful thought that you have ever thought? That because of Jesus, God looks at you and your life and says, it's been a joy and a pleasure to have you and to watch you. It's not the most wonderful thought you've ever thought. It's the second most wonderful thought you've ever thought. Can I tell you what the first is? Okay, so like the angel choir said, peace be to all of those with whom God is well pleased, with whom he feels like it's a joy and a pleasure to have you. Depending on what you do with that message you just heard about a Savior who is Christ the Lord that was born, that kind of depends on whether or not you're going to be a joy and a pleasure to him. And you're kind of asking me, like, are you saying that maybe not all of those shepherds eventually believed in Jesus? I don't know. Maybe not. And you're like, well, why wouldn't they? And I'm like, I don't know. Why doesn't everybody believe? If Jesus is offering such a wonderful gift, why doesn't everybody believe in it? I don't know why they don't. It may be that some people don't really like the idea of being given credit for something that somebody else was or did. They want to earn it their own way. And if that's the way a person feels about it, I just say, knock yourself out. And on behalf of God, I would say, this is going to be very unpleasant to watch. But if you have believed in Jesus, and I have believed in Jesus, do you know why you did and other people haven't? It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it's because God specifically chose you. He specifically and especially and specifically wanted, of all the people in the world and all the people of history, among other people, he specifically wanted you. He loves everybody, but he specifically wanted you to be in a love relationship with him forever. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it uses the very same word. It says, it was his good pleasure to pick you, to have you in a love relationship with him, specifically you and especially you. God said, it is my joy and pleasure to have you. And you're like, I don't understand that. Of all the people in the world, why would he want me specifically to be in a love relationship with him? There's a book in the Old Testament called the Song of Songs. And it's a series of poems that a young man and a young woman who are in love write to each other. She eventually kind of becomes his bride, like in the middle of it. But at the beginning, she's kind of like, I don't understand why you want me. I don't understand why you love me the way you do. I'm a rose of Sharon. And the rose of Sharon is a wildflower that grows like in Palestine. And they're beautiful, but there's millions of them. It's kind of like a dandelion. Like it's, you know, pretty, but there's millions of them. It's just like when there's millions of them, you're just like one in, you know, one of all the millions. And he said, no, you're not a rose of Sharon to me. You are a lily among thorns. And she's like, I don't understand. Why would you love me like this? Because according to verse 8 of chapter 1, she was a shepherd. Why would you love a shepherd like me? And I think about how God wants you and me, wanted you and me to be in a special love relationship with him. Out of all the people of the world, why me? Why is it a joy for you to have me? Why would it be a pleasure for you to have me? I don't understand it. Why would he love me like that? The answer to that question is this. I don't know. I don't know why he loves me. I don't know why he loves you. But he does. Is that not the most wonderful thought you have ever thought?
Did you leave unending fame to be a speechless baby? To come where no one knew your name because you came to save me? The one who made the angels sing, learning how to talk. And then you held your tongue as they led you to my cross. Did you leave your mighty throne to be a hunted baby? Fleeing for a foreign home because you came to save me. Prince of peace in the midst of hatred, toil, and strife.